Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 102.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be episode number 102, and one of our members recently requested a podcast on modal interchange. So I'm going to be doing that. This is more of an advanced theory concept for sure. I'm going to take it in two parts because it is a lot of information, and I'm sure I won't even skim the surface actually of what you can do with this concept, but it will definitely get you started. So what else? We got a lot going on. I mean, it's a great day right now. If you're listening to the podcast, thanks for being here. We are on episode 102. We had a lot of great reviews happening for the 100th contest. I'm so thankful for that. I got laundry in. I'm a little distracted right now. I got my laundry going. I got stuff. I got some potatoes cooking in the oven. So I don't know. My mind's a little scattered right now, but yeah, things are going well. Things are going great. I'm really enjoying the podcast. I always enjoy doing the podcast. We got a lot of great, I think I'm just excited. I'm excited today about JPS and just providing the content in general. We got a lot of fun things going on. And Sam, the person who requested this podcast, is asked also about the specialty course, how to accompany singers. And so my goal is to get that done by the end of the year. We're going to be releasing the lab, which is going to be an amazing new addition to Jazz Piano School to accompany the main course curriculum that we have. Lab is going to be more of a smaller kind of quick upgrade formula effect, where you can get quick, efficient kind of formulas to upgrade certain parts of your jazz piano playing. That's going to be coming soon, possibly by the end of the month or early November. And then I want to release the How to Accompany Singers specialty course, which is going to be a really, really fun one. I'm looking into getting a singer from the Bay Area who's really, really great. I've played some gigs. I played a gig with her, a couple of gigs at SF Jazz with her doing the music of Porgy and Bess, and she was fantastic. She sounds great. So, excuse me, I was going to try and get her to record some of the tracks for the How to Accompany the Singers course, and there's so many details there. It's kind of overwhelming, you know, to get all that information together and the practice exercises, but that's going to be a fantastic course. I mean, I think it's really going to cover a lot of things that a lot of people don't know they don't know, if that makes sense, right? A lot of us think that we have, an approach or what the approach is to accompany singers, but there's so much more detail that goes into it, especially with our left hand. I mean, if it's just us and a singer, it's difficult. I mean, we have to do everything, right? And it's kind of like playing solo piano, but we're also accompanying someone at the same time. So our left hand actually has to be much more involved. And that's kind of the things I get into as well. Different fills, different harmonic movements, the different registers we, we'll play in, rubato, different types of styles, how to analyze the style, the different approaches we can take. So that is going to be a fun one. And Sam keeps telling me there's really nothing else out there right now that I'm aware of, or at least that's really kind of in depth and thorough and step by step and structured like we tend to provide at Jazz Piano School. So I'm really excited about that. And yeah, just a lot going on. I mean, I don't know. I'm feeling good. I got my Red Sox game on today, even though we haven't been winning, filming the podcast today, which is good. I got the Red Sox game on my computer in the background. The laundry's in. It's just a fun day, so I'm feeling good. So with that being said, let's dive into this more complicated podcast on modal interchange theory. Here we go. So modal interchange theory is basically the concept of borrowing chords from the parallel natural minor scale. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, hopefully you guys know, or even if you don't know, that's okay. You know your diatonic major chords. Chords and scales have a relationship. Here's my major scale. Right, from this scale, I can build chords from that scale using the notes from the scale. So chords and scales have an interchangeable relationship, meaning chords relate to scales and scales relate to chords. Okay? So from that scale, I can build our diatonic major chords from that scale. Now, likewise, using minor scales, okay, we can also build chords. And I don't think, and it was Sam, that one of the members of Jazz Piano School, requested this podcast. It was such a valuable topic and great suggestion because I haven't done anything really on minor harmony except for just minor 251s. But our natural minor scale is going to include the flat 6. Closely related to Dorian, right? Obviously, we have a lot of different types of minor scales. Dorian's going to be our natural 6, right? We have harmonic minor, right, with the major 7 in there, okay? And then we have, obviously, melodic minor, natural 6, natural 7, and 1. So lots of different types of minor scales. But I'm just going to be talking about one minor scale that I first started off with, the natural minor scale. Okay, so modal interchange can happen with a lot of different minor scales, all the ones I just talked about. I'll probably get into that in part 2. Part 1 is just going to be, because most commonly it's going to happen within natural minor. So that's your natural minor scale right there. Now, the first thing I want to teach you guys is that I want to teach you the chords that relate to the natural minor scale. Okay, so obviously we're going to take the same concept we used to build our major chords off of our major scale. We're just going to take the notes from the scale and build the chord up, stacking them in thirds. Okay, but now we're going to use the notes from our natural minor scale. So we have 1, 2, flat 3, 4, 5, flat 6, flat 7, and 1. So when I go to stack my notes in thirds, I'm going to have to use the notes that come from the natural minor scale. So if I do that, my 3 is going to be flatted now. I'm going to have a natural 5, and my 7 is actually going to be flatted as well, because that's the 7, the quality of the 7 in the scale. So this chord is a 1 minor 7 chord. So the 1 chord from our natural minor harmony is a 1 minor 7 chord. Just like we learned 1 major 7 is from our major scale, 1 minor 7 is going to come from our natural minor scale, okay? Now, if I continue to shift up, right, I'm going to go up to my 2, the second degree in the scale, and I'm going to build another chord off of this. Now, okay, this is going to be a D minor 7 flat 5 chord. So for our 2 chord, we have a 2 minor 7 flat 5, right? And you can see we have a characteristic note of the flat 6 in there, which is coming from our natural minor. Now again, if I was doing this with a melodic minor scale, I'd have that natural 13 or natural 6 in there, right? So my 2 chord would be actually a D minor 7. It wouldn't be minor 7 flat 5, okay? It's just a little tip to throw in there. Anyway, our 2 chord is our minor 7 flat 5, okay? Now our 3 chord, flat 3, 5, flat 7, and natural... I was saying the degrees based off the scale. So 1, 3, 5, and major 7, but how it relates to the scale, right? This is our flat 3, our 5, our flat 7, and our 9, essentially, or our 2. This creates our E flat major 7. Now, if I continue to go up the scale, right, we're going to have 4 minor 7, okay? So here is our flat 6, right, in the natural minor scale, but it's our minor third for the chord. We have our 5 and our 7 in the chord. And again, this is just the 1 and the flat 3 in our natural C natural minor scale. Okay? We have a 5 minor 7 chord. Now again, typically most of the time, again, our 5 chord is going to be dominant. As you can see here, it's a minor 5 minor 7. This is kind of a strange chord in modal interchange in the natural minor. I'll talk about that in a second. Our 6 chord is going to be a 6 flat 6 major. A flat, C, E flat, G. So again, here's that flat 6 in our natural minor scale, right? So we have a major 7 there. Then finally, our last chord is going to be, here's our 7 of the natural minor scale, 2, 4, and again, the flat 7. This creates a dominant chord. Again, that A flat is the flat 6 of our natural minor. So we have a flat 7 dominant chord, okay? So again, to go through the chords, and again, this is just like learning your diatonic major harmony. We're just doing the same thing for a different scale, all right? you should learn, if you haven't learned your diatonic major harmony, obviously that's where you want to start, because you need to learn that first before you can start borrowing chords from your natural minor harmony, okay? But we need to put commit these to memories, right? Commit the chord qualities to memory. So we need to know that the 2 is a 1 minor 7, right? The 3 is a flat, a major 7. 4 is a minor 7. 5 is a minor 7, right? Flat 6 is a major 7. Flat 7 is a dominant 7. Just like from our major scale, we know 1 is a major 7, 4 is a major 7, right? 3 is minor, 6 is minor. We should know this, right? Just internally, like the back of our hand. So you can go get the podcast materials, the practice sheet that will show you all the chord qualities, list them out, show you your natural minor scale, and also list them in the key of C, obviously. And as we get more into this, I'm going to talk about chord scales a little bit later, but I don't want to overwhelm you just yet. But start to commit to memory the qualities of the chord coming from your natural minor scale. Again, 1 minor 7, 2 minor 7, flat 5, flat 3 major 7, 4 minor 7, 5 minor 7, flat 6 major 7, flat 7 dominant 7. Okay? Now, modal interchange, what is that exactly? Well, that's going to be the borrowing of chords, again, in this case, starting with our parallel natural minor. Now, when I say parallel, there's two different types of minor you can say. Your parallel minor is going to be the minor starting from the same note that you're on. So if I say C major, the parallel minor to C is going to be another C minor, you know, key, right? You know, sometimes you might think of like the relationship between major, right? Major scale would be the connection with this would be, you know, A minor, right? Because A minor is connected to C major. So we're not talking about that. I just want to get that out of the way there, like let you know that. When I say parallel minor, I'm meaning parallel, just meaning starting from the same, whoops. That's my timer for my my potatoes. They're done in the oven, but I got to keep going to this podcast. Maybe they'll burn. All right. So the parallel minor is starting from the same note. We're not changing the degree of the note. Okay. It doesn't really matter, but just letting you guys know that. Anyway, so here we go. So what is modal change? It's borrowing chords. Okay. So the first, we're going to talk about these chords individually. Now, there's more common types of chords that are used. The flat 3 is definitely used. Flat 3 major 7 is definitely used a lot. The 4 minor 7 is used a lot. The flat 7 dominant is used a lot. And, you know, the 1 minor 7 is also used as well. So I'd say all the chords are used, but you'll see more common types of progressions. You'll see more chords, you know, used more so in a lot of different types of harmonies. So the 1 minor 7, again, the 3 major 7, 3 flat 3 major 7 are very, very common ones to be used. Now, the first one I want to talk about is going to be the 4 minor 7. Okay, even though I just told you these are very commonly used, I'm going to get to that, right? So the 4 minor 7, right, the F minor 7 chord, this is a very, very common progression or chord, like a modal interchange chord that you hear in a lot of progressions. If I play 1, right, C major 7, going to D minor 7, going to E minor 7, going to F major 7, right, F major 7. Now, if I go to an F minor 7, right? Now, do you recognize that chord progression, right? I mean, that's used in pop songs, it's used in jazz, it's used in everything, in classical, right? So many different things. You hear this 4 major, right? And again, that's just from major diatonic harmony. Then we go to our 4 minor. That's a modal interchange borrow, right? That 4 minor 7 is coming from the parallel natural minor of C. So that's where that chord comes from, okay? Again, I'm going to talk about like kind of analyzations of this and the movements and chord scales, all that later, but I'm just trying to let you know that this is how these types of chords are used, okay? Now, you're going to see this for an example. To give you an example of this, you're going to see this in Lady Bird, right? There's your 4 minor, right? That F minor 7 is not in the key of C. So where's it coming from, right? Well, it's coming from, it's a modal interchange chord. Sorry, just my screen was shutting off here. I got to make sure it doesn't power, my computer doesn't power down. So that is a modal interchange chord, okay? And so that's where it's coming from. Now in Lady Bird, I'm going to get into this a little bit further, but the F minor 7 goes to another modal interchange chord, the B flat 7, right? Right? So this B flat dominant 7. So that's just simply a 2-5 relationship, but you may be asking yourself, like, where does that 2-5 come from? That's where it comes from. Those are two modal interchange chords that fit together as a modal interchange pair, right? As a relation of a 2-5 relation. When I say 2-5, just meaning 2-5. It serves as a 2-5, but that's where that comes from. So Lady Bird is a great example of modal interchange. So you see that. And again, just that 4 minor. Now the 4 minor can be used in a lot of different types of situations. Anytime, you know, you're on the 4. Now this, the 4 minor can be a minor 7. There's some things I want to get into just a little bit. It can be a minor 7. It can be a minor major 7. It can be a minor 6, right? All of those technically work as a modal interchange chord. And you'll see the variations come from different different minor scales, okay? Now, even though our 4 minor 7 chord, right, is just a minor 7, the other types of 4 minor chords, as you'll see in part 2 or maybe part 3 of this is just a very, very advanced topic, comes from other types of C. We're just looking at C natural minor, right? If we were to look at, you know, different types of minor scales, that's where those chords are going to start to show up. But again, just so you know, you can use different chord qualities, you know, not just the 4 minor 7. It can be 4 minor major. It can be 4 minor 6, right? You might hear this. So if we're on our 1, right to the 4, there's our minor major. 4 minor major, that's our modal interchange 4, right? Four major, four minor major. Could also be a minor 6. Four major, four minor 6. Right? So all of those work. That's really all you need to know. Now, again, as I explain modal interchange to you guys, just know that my theory or my background, my education on this is based off of jazz, right? It's a jazz-based theoretical education. So that's what I'm going to teach you. Now, this stuff really kind of relates and goes deep. It goes deep into classical writing, composition, stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of things that may come up. You'll be like, why? Like, not always am I going to be able to tell you the exact reason, because to tell you that, it's going to be, we're going to have to study Schubert. We're going to have to study, you know, different examples of Bach, right? It's getting deep, really, really deep into advanced theoretical concepts of composition, okay? So that's why I may just say, you know what, you don't need to know the reason, but just know you can use these different types of chords and it's okay, right? It's going to be okay. Now, if you're the person who wants to do more research, please be my guest, right? But I'm probably not going to spend all the time giving those examples of how Bach used the chord to, you know, show his types of progressions, right, and cadences. So again, your 4 major, your 4, just know that your 4 minor modal interchange chord can be minor 7, minor major 7, or a minor 6 chord. All of those okay, all right? Now, let me see. The next one I'm going to go over, all these examples are in the podcast practice sheet, by the way. So you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast102, get the different types of modal interchange chords in their examples in tunes, and as well as all the natural minor diatonic chords to natural minor as well. Okay, jazzpianoschool.com/podcast102. So the next one I'm going to talk about is the minor 7 flat 5 chord, which is going to be the 2 chord. Now you might think, you know, okay, it's just a minor 7 flat 5. And normally the use of this is going to be in a minor 2-5-1, right? Right? Just going to the dominant and then your minor major 7, right? So how is this technically used in modal interchange? Well, again, as I kind of progress, a lot of times you'll see a minor 2 flat 5 go to a flat 2 major 7 and then to a 1. So it's kind of thrown in there, right? And not all the times is a minor 2-5 resolved to the minor, right? Because it's a modal interchange. So in, for example, in the course of Night and Day, right? You see this. We have the minor 7 flat 5 chord, which is the 2, the dominant chord. And then where does it resolve to? It resolves to a major 7 chord. So you may be thinking, well, what the heck is going on, right? How does a minor 2-5 resolve to a major 7 chord? That's because it's being borrowed from the parallel natural minor, right? That's where this minor 7 flat 5 chord is coming from, okay? That it's a borrowed chord. It's a modal interchange chord. It's the 2 minor 7 flat 5 coming from C, the parallel minor of major, right? Okay? Now, another example in Alone Together, let me see, at the very end, right? I have to play through the whole tune. Right? That wasn't a great example. I was trying to play through the first A section really quickly. But it ends on that D major 7 chord, right? We have an E minor 7 flat 5 going to the A7, going to a D major. So you see a lot of the times, anytime you see kind of a minor 7 flat 5 chord going to a 5-7 and then resolving to a major chord instead of a minor, that should be a huge flag saying, okay, modal interchange just happened, right? Just happened. And again, if you're thinking, well, how do we analyze that? Or like, what do we play for chord scales? I'm going to get all into that a little bit later. It's going to be way too involved for just this first podcast. All right. Now, the next example I want to get back to is the 4 minor 7. Okay. The 4 minor 7, and specifically how that relates to the flat 7 chord. Okay. So the 4 minor 7 is an F minor 7 in the key of C, right? Now this, obviously, like I said before, has a very strong relationship to the flat 7, okay? So it's a 2-5 relationship. So a lot of the time, you know, you're going to see two modal interchange chords happen at once because they're just so closely related. Now, does it always happen? No. I mean, you could do this. Just go to your 4 minor and then back to 1. Right? That's a cool vamp. Right? Just 1 to 4 minor. But a lot of times it's tagged on. The flat 7 is tagged on as well because it just fits very nicely. You can just put another 2-5 in there. Right? So you have your 1 chord. It doesn't even have to be swing. I mean, you're gonna hear a lot of this used in R&B too. If I go ahead and change my setting, I don't think I've ever done this on a podcast. This is gonna be fun. I'm curious how this sounds like. Actually, I think I've always used the piano sound on. hold on 1 second. I gotta take some of the reverb off. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that sounds to you guys out there, but it might be kind of harsh. Right, for more of an R&B sound. So we're doing 1 major 7, right? Going to the 4 minor. B flat 7, right? So again, enough of that. Probably doesn't sound as good getting recorded through a wire as it does with my live speakers. But anyway, that is the 4 minor 7 going to the flat 7, okay? And a lot of times the flat 7 modal interchange, it connects onto the 4 minor. The other times you'll hear it, you hear this a lot. Let me see. sorry, I just kind of blanked. Right? Everyone knows this. Okay, I'm not going to keep going. Well, I guess it is almost Christmas. we're getting there, right? Christmas time is here, right? We have a 1 major 7 going to the flat 7. And we're using this sharp 11 on the flat 7. It's a really great modal interchange example. Now, Lady Bird, right? It doesn't resolve to the... It doesn't go to the E-flat major 7. Now, the other thing about the 4 minor 7 going to flat 7, another modal interchange chord, is that we can continue the progression and go to E-flat, which happens to be another modal interchange chord. So you're going to hear that a lot, right? You're going to hear the substitution of the movements of 1 major 7 going to E-flat major 7 a lot, right? Going to the flat 3 major 7. That happens a lot in jazz progressions, okay? Just because these chords fit so well, right? So you'll hear this all the time. Anytime you see a 2-5 going to the flat 3 major 7, that's just a full modal interchange coming from the parallel minor. And you can treat it as just a normal 2-5. I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated, but I'm gonna give you some other ways to approach it as well, but just so you know. And again, in Lady Bird, we don't resolve. It just goes, it doesn't resolve to the E-flat major 7 there, okay? I got two more here. The examples, we've covered most of the chords from the natural minor, right? Now the 1 minor 7, for example, you know, that can be interchanged. Like, you can resolve to the 1 minor 7 from a dominant, you know, that's just kind of interchangeable. Actually, I don't have any examples off the top of my head. I didn't write any down in my notes right now, but that's how that can work. You know, rather than resolving to a major 7, as the 1 chord, you can simply resolve to a minor 7, and that's coming from the modal interchange. Okay. The other chords I did want to talk about specifically because they... Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you one example that I had written down as well, is that you see the full resolution to the flat 3 major in Green Dolphin Street, right? Sorry, I'm getting all my melodies confused. Right, so... kind of play weird playing it as an example for you guys when I'm thinking about modal interchange. So as in Green Dolphin Street, right, the later half of the A section, we go to the modal interchange. So it resolves to the E flat major 7. So that's a really prime example of that happening, right? Green Dolphin Street is just like the picturesque, you know, modal interchange for resolving to the flat 3 major 7. So we have this 2-5 first in C, then it does the same line, but it does it from all three chords are borrowed from the parallel minor. It's all modal interchange, right? So going to E flat major 7 there. So that's, I just want to jump back to that. And let me see. So we've talked about the 1 minor 7. We talked about 2 minor 7, flat 5, from Night and Day, right? Flat 3 major 7 we just talked about. 4 minor 7 we talked about. Now the 5 minor 7, this is kind of a strange thing because, you know, your 5 minor 7, is the function of it is usually for it to be a dominant chord, but it's not that in this situation. So a lot of times what you're going to see, like in Dolphin Dance, it's used more to create sus chords. Like if I play this 5 minor 7 over C, right, I'm creating a sus chord out of this, right? So playing the 5 minor 7 over a different bass is going to create a sus chord. Now in jazz, we don't have to write 5 minor 7 or G minor 7 over C. You may see that written in charts, right? But again, in jazz, it's just a sus chord. So you can voice it like that. But again, you can think C sus. You don't have to think G minor 7 over C, okay? So as far as the 5 minor 7 goes, that's kind of a strange one. You won't see that happen too often. And if you do, it's going to be just creating a sus chord out of that. So and then the flat 6 chord is going to be the last one I want to talk about. We talked about the flat 7, right? Being used in Christmas Time Is Here and also being used as a 2-5 to go to the flat 3, okay? But the flat 6 major 7, right? This is kind of a funny chord as well. Now, the flat six major has kind of evolved and has been altered, right, to become a dominant chord as well, besides just being used as a major seven function. So what do I mean by that? Well, essentially the flat six root, okay, stays intact, but the quality of the chord, the major seven, has changed a little bit or been altered so that we're still using the function technically of that flat six characteristic note from the minor scale, right? Because that flat six is a very characteristic root in the scale, right? But we're changing the chord quality of the scale, meaning we're not making it a major seven, we're making it a dominant seven in some instances, and I'll get to that in a second. But the flat six major can also be seen in Lady Bird. So Lady Bird is another huge example of modal interchange. We talked about D, D, right? Now the second line, right? Right, we have this 2-5 going to A flat. So that A flat major seven, right, is again another modal interchange chord. Right, so it's just being borrowed. We're going; it's a 2-5 going to the flat six. Okay. Now the other, like I was talking about before, that I wanted to get into is that the flat six can you may also see the flat six as a dominant chord, and this is just again, it's more of an altered modal interchange chord. So, for example, in Star Trek, I almost said Star Wars, and Out of Nowhere as well. Right. Now, in Out of Nowhere, we have a 2 that goes to the E-flat 7, but that's more or less the 5-7 chord there. That E-flat 7 is the main function in that progression. They're just, the composer just put the minor 2 in there to lead to the 5-7 or the modal interchange chord. So that's the flat 6 dominant. Again, that's a modal interchange chord that's been altered, again, the major seven quality to create a dominant sounding function. But again, that flat six, the root tonic is coming from the natural, minor scale, right? Again, Star Trek. Oops, sorry. Again, same chords from Out of Nowhere. So that flat six functioning right there in Star Trek. Now, you may also hear this in a tune called Bye Bye Blues, right? Or any sort of blues sometimes. You may hear this as well. So, right? You may hear this a lot, okay? This may go down to the six, right? And then to the two. So again, flat six dominant, that's just another modal interchange chord. So that flat 6-7, that's a really beautiful chord. I love it. And again, modal interchange chord. All right, so just kind of review. I'm going to wrap up here to review what we learned today. Our natural minor scale is our most commonly used modal interchange scale, meaning most commonly modal interchange happens. And again, modal interchange is where we're borrowing from another minor scale. And again, this happens most commonly with our natural minor scale, and that's why I started with this scale. Modal interchange does happen when we borrow from other types of minor scales as well. I'll be covering that in the next part two. But again, most commonly it happens from our natural minor scale. Now the chords, right, diatonic to the minor scale, natural minor, 1 minor 7, 2 minor 7 flat 5, flat 3 major 7, 4 minor 7, 5 minor 7, flat 6 major 7, flat 7 dominant 7. Okay, now again, we see the 4 minor happen a lot. It can be melodic. Excuse me, it can be minor major, regular minor 7, or flat or 6 chord. I'm going to slow down my speech here. I'm worried about my potatoes burning. We also see the flat 7 attached to the 4 minor and the flat 3 major 7 attached to the 2-5, right? That happens. But all of them do not have to be attached. Like, you'll see them used in various situations unattached to their 2-5-1 progression, right? For instance, right, that's just the B-flat 7 chord not attached to the F minor 7. It's just being used as a modal interchange chord. Okay, a minor 2-7 flat 5 can be used, for example, in Night and Day, the resolution. We have our 4 minor, we have our flat 7 modal interchange, we have our flat 3 major 7, we have our flat 6 major 7 as well. Okay, and that can also be a dominant 7. Again, don't necessarily ask me why that is. It's more about the resolution and its purpose. Like if I used the in jazz, if the A flat 7 is being used as a substitute dominant, like a tritone sub, then that's not a modal interchange chord. It's a dominant 7. So if I use this going down to like for a G7 example, that is being used as a substitute dominant for D7 because it's resolving to G7. Okay, does that make sense? But if the A flat 7 is resolving back to a 1 chord, for example, right? This isn't resolving to 1 in a functionality of a 5-7 chord. It's being resolved back to 1 in the functionality of a modal interchange flat 6 chord, okay? So you have to look at the progression as like a sentence, like a whole string. The progression equates to something. The movement of the chords and the roots, how they flow together, it equates to, you know, okay, this is how the functionality of the chord is serving. Because chords can function in different types of ways, right? They can be used for this way or they can be used for that way, right? And you have to look at the big picture of the progression, how it leads into other types of chords, because it's all about the movement and the flow of the harmonies, right? That's what equates to the long big picture of progressions. Okay. So I hope this was helpful on modal interchange. I think I'm going to do part 2 next week to get into more chord scales and some other minor scales as well, where modal interchange happens, some different types of examples. So I got to go take my potatoes out of the oven and change the laundry as well. Hope you had a great time. Remember, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast102 to get the all the materials that I just talked about to study them and practice them. I'd recommend practicing your natural minor chords in all keys. Again, commit the functionality and the memory of the qualities of every chord to memory, and it'll be really good for you and helpful as well. Okay, I'll see you in the next podcast. Have a great day and happy practicing.